Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
Yeah, Rick, we've got a special guest today, Jamie Phillips, who we'll get into sort of what you do shortly, Jamie, but welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, tell us, what's your claim to fame?
Claim to fame? I don't think I really have a claim to fame. Is this a stitch-up or...?
Oh, no, Jamie, you have got a claim to fame. Come on, tell us about that you've just come back from the USA and why you were over there.
Yeah, so I'm doing my master's in sports physio, so I'm a physiotherapist here in Gawler, and I did a placement with the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA, so that was, yeah, it was quite an experience.
So that's the top-level basketball in America. Basically, in the world, the way they tell it from their perspective.
Yeah, they certainly do. While I was over there, one of the players was quick to let us know that, yes, it's when they win the NBA title, it's the world championship, not the American championship. So, yeah, they're definitely pretty keen to point that out.
And Milwaukee, they haven't won anything at all since about 1971.
No, I don't think they have, no. Yeah, they have won the championship once, I think, back in those days with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did play for them. But, yeah, I don't think too many of their sporting teams have won too many trophies.
Anyway, Jamie, before we get really deeply into that, tell us a little bit about you. Where were you born?
So I was born here in Adelaide and went to school at St. Paul's College in Gillis Plains and then went on to study at UniSA.
And what did you do there?
So I did a Bachelor in Applied Science in Human Movement, which is like a sports science degree, and then I transferred over into physio.
Obviously very successfully.
Well, yeah, I guess so, but still got plenty of goals in terms of my physio career to get to, but to go over to the NBA was, yeah, quite an experience.
Well, it really would have been. Let's go back just a little bit, because I actually do know a little bit about you. You're obviously a very talented sportsman. I can reveal that he's got a handicap of 6 and a bit and is a member at the Tanunda Pines Golf Club. Tell us a bit about your football career.
Oh, there's not a lot to tell there. So I played junior footy at North Adelaide and then went on and played a few seasons in the reserves. Never could crack a league game. But yeah, spent a few years there with North Adelaide, which was good.
And I believe you took up an unusual sport in Australia, Gaelic football, and you represented the state and Australia. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, so when I was in school, the actual state Gaelic football under 18 coach was one of my teachers, and as I was playing reasonably high football, he sort of asked me to come out and try it out, and played in the national championships in under 18s and got selected in the all Australian team, and then went on and played in the seniors for the next few years, and also got selected in the all Australian team for a few years there too.
Did you actually play anyone?
Yeah, so for the under 18s, there was an Irish team that came out that we played against. So we went to Melbourne and played them.
Could you understand anything that they said?
Not really. No, they tended to step on our toes quite a bit when we were playing and pinch us in the backside and all this sort of stuff. But couldn't really understand too much. Yeah.
Did you play any other sport?
So around that time, I was really mainly focused on footy. But growing up, I played a bit of everything: a bit of cricket, a bit of basketball, a bit of tennis, a bit of everything, really.
And how did the opportunity with the Milwaukee Bucks? How did that come about?
So as part of my studies, I've had to do 2 placements, and my first one I did at the Port Adelaide Football Club. So I did some stuff with the Power this year as part of that, and then that sort of work turned into working with the Maggies all season as well. But there. Previous head of physio from previous season has gone over to Milwaukee for the last couple of seasons. So I just asked the question if I could go over, and he was more than happy to have me. So, yeah.
Well, Jamie, what a wonderful experience to be with the Port Adelaide Football Club to start with before we go to America.
Yeah, it was pretty hard to top that. But I think Milwaukee maybe just topped it. But, it was a good experience as well.
I'll just apologise for Rick here now, but we'll move on a little bit. What's the culture like in America, and specifically their sports science? I mean, you made an unusual sort of claim in regards to everyone thinks they're the best in the world at everything, but your observation told a different story.
Yeah, so I think they're, you know, a little bit behind us here and behind the rest of the world, really, in terms of sports science. Really, I think that the AFL are pushing the boundaries in sports science and even medical science. So, you know, it was a good measuring tool, I guess, to spend the year with Port Adelaide and then go over and see how they do things over there. The guys at Milwaukee are from Australia, and a lot of their physios are trying to take that culture and the things that they're doing over into Milwaukee and into the NBA. But just having to listen to what they've said about, you know, things that they've had to try and change, and just the way that they do things over there, yeah, I guess has been quite different.
Do you think perhaps the American sporting culture is a little bit insular in the sense that they classify themselves as the best in the world, and they're probably not as open to the changes that other countries sort of have incorporated?
Yeah, I'd think so. I mean, you know, that would make sense. They definitely seem to think that they're sort of at the top of the tree and everyone else is a little bit below them. But, you know, there's a lot of good research, a lot of good studies going on sort of all over the world, and you know, here in Australia, but in the UK and also in Europe, there's some good things that guys are doing, but they haven't sort of filtered over to that part of the world yet, I guess.
Jamie, tell us a bit about the squad as such. You know, how big is it? Who sort of controls it? Is it sort of coach orientated or player orientated? What's the scene?
So I think there's about 15 players on the squad. There's 12 to 13 that suit up every night, so there's a couple that do miss out, and if you've got a few injuries, long-term injuries, those guys will obviously miss out. But there's a lot of coaches too, so I think there's probably one coach to maybe every two or three players, so lots of coaches. And yeah, they definitely, coaches run the show over there. So whereas I guess over here it's a bit more everyone sort of works together, the sports science guys work with the coaches and so forth, whereas over there I guess it's a little bit coach and player driven. So it's been a little bit hard for the new guys in Milwaukee to try and bring in the things in terms of the medical science type field, to try and bring in what they want to. But they're starting to make some good headway now, yeah.
And I believe that they play an enormous number of games during a season. How does that sort of get handled? And
Yeah, so they're playing a lot of games. It's 82 games a season, I think. So, and then, you know, they play pre-season as well. And sometimes they're playing four games a week. And obviously travelling, you know, they might finish one game at home and they jump straight on the plane, private jet, mind you, and then fly off to wherever and play a game or two and then turn around and come back. So there's, it is very professional in the way that they have to keep on top of everything and work out their training schedules and so forth. Yeah.
And you were actually mentioning to me that you sort of felt as though they possibly even, quote, overtrained in relation, I guess, to the huge workload of playing games. Is that the way you saw it?
I guess one of the cultures over there is that if you're not playing too well, you've got to train harder and harder and try and get better. But I guess they're not looking at it from the point of view that maybe they're not winning because they're fatigued and overtrained. So I guess one of the things that the guys from Australia that have gone over there are trying to implement is to try and manage these guys' load a little bit better from a sports science point of view.
And talking about Australians, on court, are there any sort of Australians that are standing out?
Yeah, so there's two Aussies now playing at Milwaukee. So Matthew Dellavedova, which if anyone follows basketball would know him from playing with the Boomers and winning the championship, the world championship last year.
The world championship.
With the Cleveland Cavaliers. So he sort of moved on from the Cavs, I guess, being, you know, sort of a bench player, good bench player, wanting to go to a sort of a starting role and be a point guard where he sort of controls the team, a bit like the quarterback of an NFL team. So he's moved over there to try and sort of take on a new role and a new leadership role, and he's starting to do quite well and fit in well with the team.
And I believe there's a man from Greece that's probably their star player.
Yeah, so there's a young guy, I think he's only 22 now, Giannis Antetokounmpo is his name. It's a bit hard to pronounce, but he's an amazing athlete. And if you ever get a chance to see this guy play, he does some amazing things on the court, and he's just going to get better and better. And he's already being touted as, you know, maybe the next sort of Michael Jordan, LeBron James type player. So
And for our listeners, you've actually revealed to me, just give us a clue as to what sort of money he's on.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's all hush-hush. Over there, sort of everyone knows, you know, it's everyone's business as who's on how much money. But I think he's on $100 million for 4 years or something to that degree, whether that's US or Australia, I'm not too sure.
Do they have spots for little short blokes over there? Or?
Well, not really. So Della Vadova's their point guard, and he's still 6'3", so point guard's the shortest player on the team. So I think you might struggle there, Rick.
Oh, sorry, Rick. You've had that problem all your life, so just get over it, mate.
Nothing's changed, really, has it?
Maybe take up golf. Can you give him some golf tips?
Yeah, I haven't seen him swing a golf club, so... Yeah, I'm not too sure about that one either.
Deli, the Aussie bloke, mm-hmm. what sort of money would he be on?
I think he might be around sort of half that, around sort of 40, 50 million or something like that.
Oh, poor
fellow. Yeah, so struggling. But they, there's also another Aussie playing there now. So he was just picked up in the draft, I think number 10 or 11. They picked up a young Sudanese Aussie guy over there. His name's Thon Maker. So he's a bit of a project for them. They sort of didn't think he was going to play much this year, but he's already started playing some minutes and is looking quite promising. So he's only 7'1". So
I'm new 7'1".
So in your role, sort of, where do you actually sit courtside to watch the games?
So I didn't. I mean, the physios there were courtside. So there's two physios, and then I was about five rows back. So. But I didn't really have too much involvement during the game, but sort of at trainings and pre-game and afterwards.
And Jamie, what about the actual games themselves? Are the stadiums big, and how many people would attend?
Yeah, so I think Milwaukee Stadium seats around maybe 17,000-18,000, and it was, I guess, a little bit disappointing. The games that I was there was probably about sort of 10,000-12,000 there. So Milwaukee is a small town, but also being start of the season, maybe they weren't sort of filling out yet. But they reckon that a lot of the other stadiums in the big teams do fill out. So New York and LA and Cleveland and these types of places.
And as far as your placement's concerned, what were the major learning processes for you? What did you learn? What did you pick up from that experience?
I guess the main thing was just to see how they did things over there, okay, and try and sort of relate that to what I learnt at Port Adelaide. But then on top of that, trying to learn from the two physios who are really good physios there. So just learning about load management and how they manage these guys. And so it's not just about, you know, previously I guess physios were more about wait till someone gets injured then treat them. These days it's more about trying to prevent these guys from getting injuries.
What sort of injuries are basketballers more likely to get than not?
Yeah, so there's a couple. I guess the main things are ankle injuries. See a lot of sort of ankle sprains, and then knee injuries as well, whether that's sort of ACL ligament type injuries or sort of your chronic ongoing tendon, like tendinopathy injuries. See a lot of those as well. But then occasionally you'll get sort of hand and wrist and elbow and shoulder stuff too.
And just of interest, you were talking about Della that's come over from the Cavs, and of course the Cavs won their first ever basketball championship.
Yep.
In Cleveland, and then of course Cleveland were in the World Series trying to win their first World Series since the baseball World Series since 1948, and they were up against the Cubs who hadn't won since 1908. But the Cubs got up in an exciting seventh game. Now you're telling me about the atmosphere at Wrigley Field and everything. Mm. What was that like?
Yeah, so Milwaukee's only about an hour and a half from Chicago, so I spent about 4 or 5 days in Chicago. So I got to go out and have a look at Wrigley Field. We weren't there while any of the games were on, but just to go out there and have a look and see the atmosphere. And there's lots of people out there. We went out there another time as we drove past, and this was after they'd won the World Series, and there was just people everywhere taking photos, and it was just a real, I guess, the city itself was very proud for what they'd done. They were sort of, everyone was walking around with their baseball shirts on, and it was just a really, really good atmosphere.
Well, thank you very much, Jamie. It was good to get a bit of baseball into counteract the Port Power bit, but this is the Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drew.